treasures that are hid therein. It is then that you have unlimited access to my presence. Prayers are answered and circumstances are changed. Thanksgiving has resurrection power. It will resurrect dead things in your life. It will reveal things that are hidden. It will draw you ever closer to me.
Thank you, Sally. There's another word. Just listen to this, please.
Father, we praise you. We worship you. We love you with all our being, with all our heart. Father, we give you our hearts today. We give you our hearts today, Lord. We love you, Jesus. During the praise and worship this morning, the main doors where you come into the church, I saw this flood of water. I saw this mighty river, and it began to enter the church. And as it entered the church, I just felt what the Lord was saying. Run, run, run into the streets, run into the byways, go into the homes and bring them. The Lord is telling us today to run into the streets, run into the byways, and to bring them. He's about to do something here. The Lord is about to do something. He's about to release something. He's about to do something new. Run, run. The Lord will lead you. Run, bring them in. Bring them in. I'm about to do something. Thank you, Father.
You may be seated. I think we must take note of what the Lord says. You know, the Lord says, and according to what Ivor and Sally just spoke about, is that I set before you an open door that no man can shut. You know, Bible says that upon the word of God, the gates of hell cannot prevail against him. Amen. If you reflect on God's word, if you put God's word first in your life, if you look at God's word and you keep your eyes on Jesus, on the word of God, you cannot fail. You know, I can just say, since from a young age, I've served the Lord. And yes, I've had bad times and I've had good times. But the good times were a lot better than the bad times. Yes, Satan came in like a flood, but he could not destroy my life. Amen. And I just want to say to you, God is alive, God is powerful, God is real. And you got to go out there. When you go on holiday, remember God is with you. God will never leave you or forsake you. You can't run away from God. God gave me a word for somebody in the church here the other day. And God said to that person, and very strongly I felt in my spirit, whether you've done good or you've done evil, and you cannot face me, don't run away from me. Run to me. Run to me in those times when you're feeling like you're the biggest rotter in the world. Run to me. Don't run away from me. So many people run away from God because of guilt. And God is saying, there's an open door for you. Run to me. I'm here for you. My grace is sufficient for you. My undeserved kindness is sufficient for you. My mercy is sufficient for you. I love you. God loves you. Amazing, with an amazing love that you will never be able to comprehend. Just felt I had to get that out. And yes, there's an open door. There's a gate of flood. There's a floodgate. There's a gate that's open for you. And God wants to bless you. He wants to bless this church. Amen. And you know that you can only be blessed, really be blessed. You can't be blessed in front of TV. TV can't talk to you. TV can't counsel you. TV can't pray for you. TV can't help you in any spiritual way, an aspect to lift you up. You can sit in front of the TV and think, that's my church. It's not your church. These brothers and sisters that are here are your church. These people that are here that love you are your church. These people here that are failures in certain areas that will fail you and you'll get mad at them, they're your church, because you're going to learn to love them in that whole thing. Amen. So praise God. So reflect on that. Reflect on that. Okay, so now I just want to say, you see all this mess on the stage here. We are going to have carols tonight. We are going to have the most amazing carols you've ever attended tonight. So if you miss it, I want you to know that you're going to miss something amazing. There's nothing boring about what we're going to be doing here. It's going to be exciting. Bring kids along. The kids are going to be excited. And we're not going to have candles. We're going to have little lights on our fingers. And which don't cause wax to fall on the carpet. And we're going to hold them up and we're going to praise God. And they got a little jingle bells for the kids. And we're going to just have an amazing time tonight. So at 4:30, we're starting. We're going to have a little picnic. But come, please come. Bring people along. You're going to have a good time tonight. Hey, just don't like kind of make other arrangements. If you've made other arrangements and you've got friends coming around, say to them, listen, guys, you've got to come with me tonight. You're going to have a ball. Right? Don't let them put you off from coming tonight, okay? So praise the Lord. And what I'm going to do now is I can do the offering. Would the people come up that are taking the offering and the tithes? I think the tithes this side and the offerings that side. Tithes that side and offerings this side. Okay, tithes that side. Offerings that side. So I just want to say to you, you know that
we seem to be getting busier, so, but it's all in the Christmas spirit. Let's pray before we start, and let's trust God to meet with us in a very real way here today. Father, we just thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for the joy of being able to serve you, and as we've come to an end of a year, and we're preparing for a new year, Lord, we ask that you would envision our hearts, and you would open us to our hearts to see what you're wanting to do. Lord, we don't belong to ourselves, we belong to you, and we really want to just trust that as we look to the future, Lord, that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit, that you would put that your will in our hearts, that, Lord, that we would take up the cross, what you're wanting us to do, and fulfill every good plan and purpose that you have for us now. In Jesus' name, amen. This week I've entitled the message Vision Sunday as we look to 2018. And I'm just really trusting as we paint a picture of the future, what God is planning to do within Church on the Way, that'll become your heart and that you would get behind what God's wanting to do at Church on the Way. But I want to just say personally, in your own life, it's a good time to reflect on the year, what God has done in your life, and give thanks to Him. We heard the prophetic word today that we give thanks in all circumstances and take time to just to say thank you to God for even the good and the bad that you might have been through this year. Just give thanks to Him, because when we praise Him, God inhabits our praises and something transpires in our lives. But as we look to the future, I want you to hear what I'm saying today, and maybe you don't have a picture for your future for the next year. Maybe it's just another year. And I want to say God gives us the season that we need to live in. He's placed us here in this city, in this suburb, in this church, and we have a purpose in Him and His plan for us, and we need to fulfill His purposes and His plans in our generation, in our time. And we've got to work together, and I just believe God has called you to this family and hasn't called you just to be attendee. He's called you to be an integral part of the family, and every one of you has a purpose. And I want to encourage you, every one of you has a purpose. It's not because I lead the church and have a group of elders that we lead with. No, you have a purpose to fulfill in the life of this church. And I come to encourage you here today. God wants you to fulfill His purposes in your life. You are a very, very important part of His body here at Church on the Way. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, and I want to read from verse 14 to 21. I want to tell you a story. Yesterday, my glasses broke, the frame. So I'm going to preach without my glasses, because I can't actually see the notes here. So I see better without my glasses. So I can't see you so clearly, but God can. I read from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that his glorious riches, that he might strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That is my prayer for you, and that was Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus. And that is a very powerful prayer, because we grow closer to Christ, we grow in the love of God, and we trust in a God that can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to the power that's within us. And I want to believe, and I want to trust with you, is that 2018 is going to be an incredible year. We've just heard the prophecies. God has declared things over us, that he wants him to do things, and he's drawing people, that the power of God will be evident amongst us. You know, sometimes we want the evidence to be signs and wonders and miracles, and I do believe that will take place. But this invisible kingdom that we spoke about last week, the power of that just to be so evident in our lives and to work through us in an incredible wonder of who God can only do in each and every one of our lives. And I want to trust for more of God's love, and want to trust more for the outworking of the Spirit of God in each and every one of our lives. So 2018, I want to just say, is going to be a fantastic year. As the Holy Spirit's been speaking to us, I want to just reiterate some of the things that he's saying to us. And firstly, this is a church. We need to be a Christ-centered, where the fullness of God is found in Christ. God has put everything into Christ. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit has put everything into Christ. And we have to put Christ as the center of our lives. And you know, I was reading a book by Rana Bonker the other day, and he raised the question, have we limited Christ? You know, through our unbelief, we can strip Jesus of who he is. And you know, God in all his fullness, he's the healer, he's our savior, he's majestic God, he's the miracle worker, he's the more than enough, he's the Jehovah Jireh, he's got names beyond. But you know, in our worldliness and in our humanness, we strip him of who he is. And the Bible says to us that he's not just Jesus, he's Christ Jesus. And Christ means the Messiah, it means the anointed one. And if we know who Jesus is, he's the anointed Jesus, the Lamb of God, the precious one of heaven. And we need to ensure that we keep him in his rightful place here in this church. And I want to just say, this following year, we want to keep Jesus center of all that we're doing. We want to see Christ, the anointed Jesus, outworked in our lives. And you know, that is not easy, because everything in the world will come against you to rob you, and especially the devil, to rob you of who Jesus is in your life. And you know, one of the easiest things, and we find that as you get busy and as the things of the world, Jesus comes off his throne in your life. And other things start to become Lord in your life. And we have got to maintain that fight. We've got to put Christ as Lord of our hearts. And you've got to fight for that. It's a fight that you will always have. You've got to set aside Christ in your heart as Lord. And you know, the early church found that. The early church found that Jesus can come off the throne of our lives, even though we confessed him and we are saved, but he doesn't always rule and reign in our lives. And I want to say, as a church, we've got to continue to press in. We've got to contend for his lordship over our lives. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 to 5, Paul got to a place in the maturity of his walk with God. I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest in men's wisdom, but on God's power. And here Paul comes and he says, Jesus must be the center. Him crucified must be the center of your life. And then the message of power starts to reverberate in and through your lives. And you see, in Ephesians chapter 1:17 also says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you might know him better. And I asked you the question, do you know Jesus Christ. You might have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, but do you know him? And you know, this is a profound statement, even Paul, and I want to read a portion of scripture from Philippians chapter 3. Paul had a very intimate, close relationship with the Lord. He had divine revelation, and he wrote majority of the New Testament. But he got to a place where he wrote to the Philippian church, and he read from Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to read a large portion of scripture because I think the scripture actually teaches us the heart that God wants us to have when it comes to 2018. I read from chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. The heading says, "No confidence in the flesh. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to rewrite the same things to you again. It is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, and for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." And verse 10 says, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead." And Paul opens up his heart to us and he says, "I am qualified to be righteous. In terms of Israel, there's no one better than me." But he counts this all rubbish. And he says, compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I want to tell you, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart and he wants to reveal himself to you. You don't know him. You think you do. You might have put him in a box and you cookie-cutted him and you said, "This is who you are, Lord." He wants to reveal himself to you in his greatness, in his love, in his mercy, in the fullness of who he is. He wants to reveal himself. Your Lord wants to reveal himself to you. He has given you the spirit of wisdom of revelation, but it's going to take an effort on your behalf to seek him with all your heart. Folk, listen to me. This is the essence of life. This is the essence of life, to know Christ Jesus, your Lord. It's not just to get saved. It's to know Jesus. And you see, this comes by revelation and it comes by Holy Spirit. It's spirit to speaking to spirit. This is not, no man can reveal Christ to you. No man. But by the Holy Spirit. And God, I really believe, as much as we've got a work to do in the Great Commission, we've got to get out there and we've got to tell people about this great Jesus and who he is. God wants to reveal himself to you. And if you, sir and ma'am, are complacent, I want to say, shake and rattle yourself. Stir yourself up and come to this place that, "Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you." And if you were in whatever station you find yourself in life, you might be in the worst place of your life, but turn to God and say, "Lord, I want to know you." Why wait to heaven to find out who he is? God wants to reveal himself in your heart today, but it's going to take an effort from you. It's going to cost your life. You're going to have to give up some stuff. You're going to have to make some sacrifices, because God doesn't play games. He gave his everything when he went to the cross to fulfill the Father's will. He gave his everything for you and I. He didn't play a game. He gave everything. And God demands everything. You see, God wants to take this church to a place of maturity. And when you get home one day, I don't want you to be a baby. And you still need to be in diapers and need a dummy. That's an terrible indictment upon you if you get to heaven one day and you are still a baby. We need to grow into maturity. And church, listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. He wants to take you deeper. And that requires discipline. You need to be a disciple of Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants you to be a disciple of Jesus and follow Him. And out of that, the wellspring of life will start to flow in and through you. I want to say to you, don't get religious. Don't get pious. Get into this relationship, this intimacy, fellowship with God, the Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ. Grow in that outworking of who He is in your life. We're part of a grouping or translocal team we call NCMI. And their maxim, their vision is to know Christ and to make Him known. And I want to say that is key. And I believe that's for us too, to know Christ and to make Him known. How can you witness about Jesus if you do not know Him? You're not a witness. Do you know when you go to a court of law and you go and the advocate stands there and he puts the case forward, he doesn't know the truth. He's talking about what he's heard. And he's putting the case before the judge or the jury and stating and saying, this is the truth. But he actually doesn't know. It's when the witness gets up and says, this is what I know is true. That is the truth. And you are called to be witnesses of Christ. You need to know Him. And I believe that's a challenge to every one of us. God wants us to know Him and to know Him intimately. There's some challenges ahead of us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You are at war. I don't know if you know that. You are at war. You're not only at war with the devil, you're at the war with your flesh. Your old sinful man and sinful nature, it has to be crucified. And if you want to know the things of the Spirit, you have to put your flesh down. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You need to put your flesh down. And you need to take authority. And God calls you to do that. In Romans 8, chapter 6, for those who are carnally minded, it is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We need to transform the thinking of our minds that we can be in a place that we can know God. And verse 14, and you all know that of Romans chapter 8, for as many who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And I challenge you today, don't be a church attender. Don't be religious. Don't be superior and proud, but be a son of the living God. And I want to say, if you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a child of God. And be His sons and His daughters and grow up in that. Because when you get home one day, God is receiving you as His children, as His son and His daughter. And grow up in your sonship. Grow up in being a daughter in the house of the living God. And I really believe that's a challenge to every one of us. Because God wants us to grow into the fullness of Christ. And as I was preparing today, and I don't say this with hardness, the parable of the prodigal son came to me. And I don't know who you are, I don't think it's many, but there's some people in here today, you're a prodigal. And you've been running from God. You've been running. You've gone and spent your inheritance. And you've gone and you've done what you wanted to do. You've done what you wanted to do. You've lived your life of pleasure. And now you come to a place where it actually get into a place where there's nothing left. Nothing left. And you come to your senses. And I really believe there are some here today, you come to your senses and run to your Father. Because when you run to your Father, there's a robe of righteousness, there's a ring for your finger, establishing you back into your inheritance, and the fatted calf for celebration. I believe there are people here amongst us today, you've been running. You might be attending, but you've been running. Your heart is not close to God. You're playing church. You do not know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God wants to arrest you and bring you back to Him. Sorry if this is sounding firm, but I just sense God is doing business with us today. He wants us to grow deeper and further with Him. And then secondly, I want to just say is what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. We need to be preaching the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the Word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, and do the work of an evangelist, discharge all your duties of your ministry. Church, preach the Word. Preach the Word of God. Not your thinking, not your understanding, preach the Word. The unadulterated Word of God. Hold on to God's Word. We are blessed to have the Scriptures written for us. Take hold of God's Word and live by them. Don't just go and consult them. Live by them. I challenge you to be reading the Scriptures daily. You cannot live this life of following Jesus without being in the Scriptures, in the Word. And I can see it. I watch people's lives. God has given me that great privilege to be a shepherd in the house. And I watch people's lives. I can see when you're not in the Word. Not prayer, in the Word. Because there's a richness that comes. And what actually happens when you're not in the Word, the flesh becomes very strong. And you start to default to the flesh. And you start to operate in the flesh. And yes, it happens even to me. We've got to be in the Word, the revealed Word by the Holy Spirit, and allow God to reveal His Word to you. Again, don't get religious with it, but get into the Word and let the Holy Spirit reveal the Word, which is Christ, in your heart. Preach the Word in season and out of season. And then the question, when I was away with the Lord, He asked us the question, do you want to be a river or a dam? And I believe we need to be a river and we need to build some banks. And I want to just encourage us as we look forward into this new year, what are we building? These banks that God wants us to build for the outpouring of His Spirit amongst us and the revelation of Jesus. And firstly, we need to build teams. I believe God doesn't work with lone rangers. Yes, we are individuals, and we need to be individuals, but individuals are placed in families, and God works in team. And it's one of the most difficult things to work out, because, you know, the church is not perfect, but God has called you to be part of a church which is actually a family and which is actually a team, and we've got to work these things out together. And yes, there will be conflict and there will be issues, but we've got to work out the covenantal relationships with one another. And as you work those out, we're just going to find this beauty of what God instituted from time beginning. The Godhead is three, but they are one. We are many, but we are one. And we need to work out in teams. And God has orchestrated, and we've planned the church that there are teams at every level. From the different areas of ministry, there will be a team. And the outworking of even hosting and all that we do, they will always raise up teams. And I want to encourage us, if you're not part of a team, get part of a team. If you're not wanting to do that, I want to suggest submit, get involved. You see, one of the key things is when you get involved in God's family, God can start to work in your heart. You know, you go to school and you taught and you get all these lessons and you come out with a matric certificate. But that doesn't do life. God does life in His church. And as you become part of His church, God seems to work, not always directly through direct instruction. As we live life with one another, God works out this power of His kingdom in and through our lives. And I want to say to you, you need one another, and I need you. We need one another, and we've got to walk this road. And Frank even said to you, you need us to pray for you. You're not always on top of your game. And you need people to come around you and to love you. And I'm not always on top of my game, and I need other people. You need the family of God to be accountable to. As Franco said again, the TV doesn't make you accountable. You can watch the best programs, the best preachers in the world on the TV, and you'll be blessed because they're preaching God's word. But this area of accountability, many people don't want to come into the church because they don't want to be accountable. People don't want to get married anymore because they don't want to be accountable. Do you know that? I just keep hearing all these people that want to go and cohabit now. There's no accountability to God. There's no accountability to His word. No accountability because they can walk out at any time. It's the same as the church. Yes, there is freedom and there's liberty, but the church doesn't actually operate like that. You come in, you be part of the family, and we're accountable, and we work out our issues together. We have fun together, and we build together, and we rejoice, and we get our inheritance together. So I want to say, you're in the right place. Be part of His church. It's powerful. It's His team. Secondly, I really do believe God wants to bring out corporate faith. I read the scripture from Hebrews 11, verse 29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. God has put faith in the church. You have faith in your own life as you pray and you believe God and He answers. But God wants us to contend for corporate faith. And I've seen what's been happening in the life of this church. As we get to the prayer meetings, the church stands together and starts to contend and starts to pray. And God is moving nations and changing the world through our prayer life. And there's something in the power that God wants to do in these end times is a corporate faith, where we stand together and we say, yea and amen, let it be. And God's going to do that in and through our midst. Yes, it might be led by little person, but there's going to be an outpouring. Do you know the revival that took place under Andrew Murray's watch took place in Wellington, I think it was in the 1860s. And in that meeting, the slaves, the colored slaves, weren't allowed to come into the meeting and pray. They had to sit there. But the leader of the meeting wasn't there that day. And this colored lady got up and she started to pray, and the anointing fell. And revival started in Wellington and went through from that place, went right through Africa, through outreach and witnessing. So God is no respecter of persons, but those who are willing and available, God will begin to use in a powerful way. So I want to say, our corporate faith is to be worked out. And how do we work that out? I really believe it's through prayer. And I want you to grow in your prayer life. And I was just chatting to someone the other day, and prayer is not a religious activity. Prayer is fellowship with God. It's talking to our Heavenly Father, talking to our Lord, believing Him and trusting Him, and He works out those things. And so often our prayer life, we've got a request motion going. We need to be hearing what He's saying to us. So in your individual lives, I want to ask you to hear God. We haven't given up on hearing God. Do you know that? We still obey Him. We still listen to Him. We don't do our own thing. And that's why I'm bringing these things to you, because we want to hear Him. And we only want to do what the Holy Spirit is telling us. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And I don't want to take you or what God is saying here apart from what He tells us to do. We will not move until God gives us that confirmation. And it's not just me. It's through us all that we hear the Spirit of God saying, this is what we need to do. And we will move together. And that is outworked through prayer. And what we're going to do, we're going to grow our prayer in corporate prayer. And I want to entrust you. Ask God, do you need to be at the prayer meeting? I'm not yet telling you to do that. Who's Lord? He is. Ask Him, do you need to be at the prayer meeting? And if he says yes, better get there. He will make a way for you to get there. And then we're going to break out into prayer blasts. We're going to continue like we did last year. Powerful times of taking a concerted time of intercession and breaking through. And then prayer walks. We want to trust God more for that. And then we want to continue also, as we build the banks, evangelizing every home for Christ. We've got to reveal Jesus to this dark and dying world. If we do not speak to them and we do not reveal him, they will not know about him. Many go to their death not knowing about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we can label them as unbelievers and we can label them as pagans, but God loves them. And he's given us a responsibility to reach them. And I want to just say we need to have the compassion and the love of God and working with his grace and his mercy. And we need to tell people about Jesus. It's not about our inhibitions and our fears. It's about understanding eternity. And we've got to present him well. Our lives have got to present him well. And we are on a campaign and we need your help. We need to reach our communities. We want to do a literature evangelism campaign. That's why we encourage you to invite people. We're not trying to grow a church. We're trying to get people into the kingdom. Because there's eternity at stake. People are going to hell. Some of your family members are going to hell. That's the worst curse that could ever take place. Because God has provided, and we need to be doing our work, and I encourage you to be part of us to do that. And then we need to build this on kingdom values. And I just want to reiterate, what is the kingdom values that we've placed within Church on the Way? Some of you have come from different places and maybe not have heard it, and maybe we all need to be reminded of it. And I'll just read you some of our values as at Church on the Way. We are devoted to loving God and loving others. A people who have a passion and a desire to love God in Christ and thereby love all those he brings across our path. Secondly, to a people belonging to God, his church. We are God's people with the outworking of the transforming power to the image us and his family and his bride and his body and his army. We are devoted to the word of God. I'm not going to go through all the details. We're radically word-based. We are devoted to worship. A people seeking to worship God in Christ in every aspect of life, in diverse and creative ways. Devoted to fellowship, a people seeking to build covenantal relationships with one another through Christ-centered fellowship. These covenantal relations are based on friendship, not just function. Devoted to practicing the Lord's Supper, remembering God's great love and grace through the giving of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, and remaining in his new covenant with a determined understanding of eternal life in Christ. Devoted to prayer, just spoken about that. A people of generosity, who hold to biblical financial freedom, living debt-free, tithing, offerings, almsgiving, apostolic giving, and generous lifestyle. I want to just say something about that. Let's get out of debt. Folk, get out of debt. Listen to me. Simplify your lives. I know you need to buy houses, and you need to buy cars and stuff, but watch it. Don't get into the debt spiral. That credit card, watch that credit card. Things are tight out there, and it's easy to just go into that credit card and start to push it. And then you have the problem of paying those finance charges, and you actually can't even pay that debt off. Then you're a slave to the system. And I don't want you to be enslaved. I want you to be free. So be careful. Live within your means. Are you budgeting and living within your means? Yes, God is our provider, but we need wisdom in doing these things. You know, the financial houses, the businessmen tell you that you need to use this word called gearing to grow your business. And yes, there's an aspect of that. But that's got to be ensure that you can cover those things, you can cover the repayments, and you can cover the interest burden. But what is happening to people, especially South Africa, what's happening, people are running the credit risk and they cannot live. Because they don't earn an income. They're in the dwang. And it's in the church. And God wants to, I believe God wants us to live debt-free. He wants us to be content with what we got. Yes, God wants to bless us, and God wants to provide us, and he wants to show us his goodness. But have a regime in your life to save. Pay your debts off. I want to say, if you have a clothing account, an Edgar's account, and all those things, pay that thing off and cut that card up. Hear me, I just sense it's the Spirit of God actually telling me to tell you today, get out of debt. Simplify your lives. Because there's a spiral coming, and things that if you get into that spiral, you can land up with nothing. Because you can't pay your debts. And I tell you, when they come after you and they put you into liquidation, they do not care. That God of money, Mammon, is a killer. He comes to kill and destroy. Use money wisely. Thank you for giving to God, because that's a protection. That's your greatest insurance policy that you'll ever have, giving to God, because it belongs to Him. And you are blessed because of that. But be careful of debt, folks. Especially, I'm talking as a father, be careful of the credit card. Be wise in your spending. Can I say, over the Christmas period, if you can't afford a present, don't buy a present. Rather get a piece of paper out. Hear my heart. Get a piece of paper out. Go and wait on the Lord for that person and give them a word. Give them a scripture and encourage them. I'm telling you, that's worth far more than you going and spend 500 rand on them. And the people evaluate and say, gee, this is a cheap gift. Don't do that. Don't fall into the spiral. The world out there doesn't even know what Christmas is about anymore. It's happy holidays. Happy festive season. They don't even know who Christ is anymore. Don't fall into their trap. Let's celebrate Christ. Let's give gifts to one another. But your greatest gift you can give to one another is your love for one another. I want to encourage you with that. Get out of debt. We've done building as a team, developing a good leadership. We need to have good leaders, because it puts a lid. If we don't have good servant leaders, godly servant leaders, we'll put a lid. And then have a people that have an apostolic prophetic heart. So that's what I want to say, but I want to just go practically, because we've worked it out, and hopefully all, every one of you have received Church and Way Year Planner. I want to say this is written by with change all over it, because we are led by the Holy Spirit. Things can change. So this is our basic parameters that we want to put out, and I want to just say we've got some exciting things happening into 2018 that we want to plan and include as and see as outreach. And so I want to just say, we've got to all live life. And as we live life in a church, part of the family, we need life groups. And I want to encourage you to get in part of life groups. We haven't been good at that, but I want to encourage you. And, you know, if you have in your heart that you want to be part of one, come and talk to the people. Don't get so busy that you can't go and fellowship with other believers. You need them. You need them. You really do need them. Then I've spoken about prayer. We're going to continue with corporate prayer with our prayer and fasting times. We do that twice a year. And then prayer blasts are going to be intermittent right through the year. I think we have up to 6 prayer blasts. Impact. Why do we have impact? Because we need to train you, and we can continue with series. But we're trusting God to break open those and to be more diversified, that we might not continue with series all the time. We will have a time, maybe concentrated prayer. We might have foundations courses. I don't know. But God wants to break into that. It's an imperative. I know it's a difficult time, and I know we live in busy Joburg and the traffic gets to us, but get there. You know, why do we go to a great effort, and Myrna and her team get together and they have a wonderful meal together. Why do we do that? It's not to keep ourselves busy, but that we can have fellowship and we can do things together as a body of Christ. We don't want to keep ourselves busy. We just want to do what is right in God's eyes. And then we want to camp, do our family, our camps. And we're going to do a family camp. And I can see all these old people saying to me, I can't go camping. And some of the ladies say, I need a chalet. Oh, goodness. And they want a shower. We've planned to accommodate everyone. So we're going to go to the Vocherafi resort camping terrain that's out near Bronkhorstspruit. And we're going to work it a bit differently. Because a lot of folk can't get out there and chalets and stuff like that, we're going to ask the church to come out on the Saturday. The whole Saturday, we're going to do the Saturday together. We're going to have lots of fun together. We're going to Brian have lunch together and do those things there. And if those who can camp can stay there for the Friday and the Saturday night, but those can only come out for the day, and then we will not have a meeting on the Sunday here, because we will see that is the meeting to go out there. It's what is it, Rob? 120 km. 120 km to get out there. It's about an hour and a bit journey to go out there. It's a lovely drive. It's actually a beautiful area. Can't believe right here we're going to be doing that. And then we're going to gather with the men too. They're going to be going to the same place later. We're doing the family camp on the 2nd, the 3rd, and the 4th of March. So be prepared for that. And the men's camp the month later, the 13th to the 15th of April. And then the youth getting away, the 18th to the 20th. And then we continue with our focus groups. The ladies are continuing to get together, woman for woman. It's been successful. And they got intermittently, I think there's 4 meetings during the year. You'll see that woman for woman. And then something new that's popped up in our outworking is God's put you out of the creative journaling, headed up by Jenny and her team. Ladies, you have an opportunity to fellowship together, drawing and painting and natter, creative journaling once a month for you. Hey, isn't that fantastic? Fellowship, wonderful. I love you, ladies. You're the core, the power of the church. And may we look after you because you're taking us forward. Amen. The men's connect. We'll be getting together during the year. The guys will have their burgers and boerewors rolls and gathering for that. And then the business connect. Arthur will be leading. We're trying to get the business people together. I want to stir the business people up in their outlook. And we've got to influence the business world. And we need to fellowship together. So we'll be doing some of those during the year. And then the Young at Heart Warriors, they meet once a month. And for Johan and Gretchen, who lead up that, continue with that and reach out. Can I just say to the older folk, please don't be embarrassed that you get older. You are the powerhouse of the church. And we need you. And I want to encourage you, if you are getting a bit older and you feel ashamed to go to those meetings, please don't. Get involved with that and make an impact because we need you to be part of this church. You are vital in the life here at Church on the Way. And then we're going to continue to our influence of going across the border to reach out. We're going to continue to go into the Great Lakes. I'm trusting for some people to go with me, but we're going twice next year. I'm going in February where we meet with the regional leaders there. And then we meet in August. We're going to be meeting. I'm trusting some of you will go with on that to the Great Lakes in August next year. And then we're going to Zambia, Craig and his team. We plan to go in June. It's not that expensive, but it's a road trip. And we're going to be driving up, I don't know, through Botswana, most probably to Zambia, and be preaching in the local churches in Livingston area. So if you want to be part of that, we'll keep you informed. I haven't spoken to the people involved yet, but we want to get Mapai going again. We're trusting that God will open up the door to Mapai. And then God's still got on my heart. I haven't been able to go this year, but I want to trust to just continue to build those relationships into European context and see what God has for us as a church there. So our outreaches as the Fishers team, we're going to be going to reach out every home for Christ. We're going to do a poiki competition again to reach out to our communities. We're trying to put activities in place to reach the lost. We're going to have an international day where you're going to bring and share the foods that you make at home, those beautiful Lebanese and Greek and Portuguese and whatever English meals. We're going to be doing that here one Sunday. We're going to do in Spring Day again, and we'll do carols again to reach out to our communities. Training, we'll continue to use Impact, and we'll use Gauteng Equip, we'll be doing in August. I want to encourage you to get that. I know it's not well attended by our folk. Maybe you don't understand it, but it's available, open to everyone. You might have to take one or 2 days leave to do that, but come and gather together with the rest of the relating churches or the partnering churches and get encouraged, not through just what you hear from this pulpit, but other pulpits that people can actually share, because God has got gifts in other churches that we need to be hearing and be doing what they are encouraging us to do. And then we'll continue with leaders' meetings throughout the year to encourage. And then hosting. We have a great opportunity. My dear friend Manny Pereira has invited Africa to live in South Africa for 2 weeks. No, not the whole of Africa, but he's invited some of the guys from the Great Lakes, and we'll have an opportunity to open our homes to people that are less privileged than ourselves and to come and stay with us, and they'll be attending some meetings at Cornerstone. And when that time comes, I'll ask you to open up your homes and be blessed. We did that 2 or 3 years ago. We were blessed. They changed our lives, and we changed their lives. Okay, and I remind you, as you look at that, we're a flagship church. Not going to be one, we are one. We are breaking the waters, we have the sails up, our captain is Jesus, and we are working together as this incredible team, as the Holy Spirit blows into our sails, and we are forging ahead what God has for us. We have a great inheritance, church. We have a great inheritance. God has placed this church here in Modderfontein. We might seem smaller, but we are impactful. And God's going to continue to use us in incredible dimensions. And every one of you are key elements of this, the ship that's going forward in our Lord. And I want to just say, as that picture I used last week, a small seed that is planted becomes into a massive tree where the birds come to nest in. We have a great influence in the life of our community around us. And then I just want to put ahead of you, we want to go to Israel in 2019. So start saving, and we're going to start getting some prices together. It's not going to be cheap. We're going to work out the timing of that. I'd love to go on holiday with you. No, just go and see what the Lord, where our Lord walked on earth. I've never been to Israel, and I'm trusting that as we go there, God will impress just to see the Via della Rosa, the place of crucifixion, the Sea of Galilee, just where our Lord actually walked on earth. And maybe that just changed our hearts. But it's something for us to do together in our covenantal relationships. So be aware, 2019, we'll get the dates out next year. Start saving towards that. It's I don't know what it's going to cost, but we'll get some ideas for that. And it's going to be something great that we can do together as a family. And then all glory to our Father. But then I want to call up Franco and Ivan and Craig, just what they had in their hearts, what God was telling us about the year ahead. Come, Ivan. Where's the mic? On the ground. And then I'll pray for you all after this.
Good morning. How are you this morning? Thank the Lord's you. Really been speaking to us through Mark's message this morning. And sure, it's time for a lot of us to wake up and to stand strong in God's promise and to stand in His Word. I just feel, and I know we've been talking about a lot, but 2018, it's a year of obedience, and it's a year of faith. I want to ask you today, are you ready for what Jesus is about to do in Seaway? And the Lord just laid on my heart last Sunday while we were Joshua 3, and you can read it when you get home because we don't have the time, but where Joshua told the priest to take up the ark and to go ahead of the people and to put their feet in the water. And then he went to the people and he told them to follow the ark and to be led by that ark. And you know what? That is the Spirit of God. So we need to be led by the Spirit of God. I feel that we need to keep our eyes on Jesus in the season. And He's taking us across the Jordan. And He's going to take us into our Canaan. He's going to take us into our promised land. And it's up to you today. Which side of the river are you going to camp on? Are you ready to cross the Jordan and to see the fulfillment of Canaan in your lives? I am. I want the fullness of God's word and His purpose to unfold in me and my family and in this family. I'm believing God for something really, really awesome in Seaway in 2018. It's a time of intimacy, and it's a time where we're going to see Jesus move in this place in and our lives. A time of faith and obedience.
Amen. Franco?
Mark said, what do I see into the future? I see what God's been dealing with us this year about, and that is getting to know Him better, as Mark spoke today. God challenged me on the fact is, do you really know me? And when I considered whether I really knew God, I thought, well, I do know God in my heart, but do I really know God? And I just want to read this to you, and it says here, what no eye has seen, nor ears heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. God has prepared things for you that you haven't seen, that you haven't heard, and that you have never imagined. But how do you attain it in this next year that we're going ahead? How do I attain getting to know God in this powerful way? It says, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the deep things of God. And if you really want to know God better, you have to walk in the Spirit. Amen. You have to pray. You have to come to the services. We have to share with one another. Do you Do you really want to know God better? Do you want to know God, and do you want to know things that you've never seen, heard, or imagined? Only God will reveal it to you by His Spirit. And this is what I'm expecting in the year ahead. We have great expectations.
Amen. Thank you, Franco. Craig?
Yeah, I just think it's wonderful. I just think, you know, we've said so many things, but we're just so encouraged by what God is doing. And we just want you to be on the same page. And just something which Ivan didn't share, but it was so powerful that he had this picture of this train. And we all know of a steam train, and it's standing at the station. And this train just went, you know, it went ka-chook. You know, when it just goes ka-chook, it's getting ready to take off. And we believe, you know, God's done so much this year, and He's been positioning us, and He's been preparing us for a year, which we believe is 2018. And this train is going to get moving. And we want you all to be on board of this train, because we can miss the train. We won't be missing it, but some people here may be missing it. And that's why we want to get you on the same page, and we want you to be excited and expectant. I just want to read two scriptures at what I believe in God has been saying and preparing us, because we've had a busy 2017, and some of us have had a difficult 2017. But when we look at it, it's been an amazing 2017 where God has taught us to trust in Him and to put our faith in Him. And it's amazing in James 1, 2 and 4, this is how Paul encouraged the church. This was an encouragement. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." This is an encouragement. "Count it joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness," which means patient endurance. "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." This is what God has been doing in our lives. He's been doing it, and we're going to start fulfilling what He wants to take us in. And in Hebrews 11:6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists, and that He is He rewards those who seek Him." So we believe that we've worked hard. We've been hearing God, and we've been positioning ourselves. So 2018 is a year of great expectation. And I just want to close in saying, you know, I was just praying about all of this and saying, you know, Lord, what does this all mean? You know, You're taking us in, and we've heard the prophetic words, and we believe that these words are going to be coming into maturity, and we're going to walk in it. But what God was saying is, you know, we've allowed situations and circumstances in this year to govern our faith. But from now on, our faith is going to govern and determine our future.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that's a wonderful promise.
Amen, Craig. Thanks, Mark. Thank you. Can I ask you all to stand and hold hands? If we could just gather everyone, let's be holding hands as a body, and I want to pray for you, and I want to just trust God. As I commit you to the Lord for His blessing, He'll fill you with His Spirit, and 2018. Father, we recognize that apart from You, we are nothing. And Lord, You have spoken to us so very clearly today, and we, Lord, we come with You humility before You, and we submit our lives again to You, and we ask, Lord, will You fill us again with Your Holy Spirit, that we would have this power to be witnesses of You, to know You, and to tell the world about You. And Lord, as we do that, as we work out the leading of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives, I ask, Lord, as we commit 2018 to You as a year of blessing and prosperity and the outworking of Your prophetic promises, Lord, I release whatever You've declared over us, everything that You've positioned in the heavenlies. We open up by faith now, and we speak that over us as Church on the Way and every individual here. We speak Your blessing over us, Lord. We speak Your life over us, and we speak, Lord, the kingdom will advance, the kingdom will prosper in and through us, and Your influence will increase through us in 2018. And we declare that now in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you all. We love you dearly. Come and join us for a cup of coffee upstairs. And it's going to be a great year, 2018. Amen. Thank you, everyone.